Pastor John, we have time to do a little bit of talking because we have some extra time on the tape today. How are you today?
Doing real good, Mark. Thank you.
I wanted to bring up the point about this, what I'm learning during this series about Romans. I'm learning more about what God demands of all of us. Could you give us a little bit more? We have time for more detailed instructions about what's going on with this series.
Mark. I think that, you know, we have a lack of confidence in our Christian faith because we don't see really what God demands of us. We only see it when we sit under the preacher in the room. I think that what this series is teaching me as I preach through it, and that's one of the reasons why we chose to do this, is that when we get serious about our particular walk with God, we see it as a demand and not a suggestion. And Mark, there's the key. Many of us see God's word as a suggestion. Well, if you feel like this week, then do it. Whereas the theme thus far in the entire book is talking about, I'm going to get you, I'm going to wipe you out, there's going to be some wrath. And
right. So
demands is something that the Christian church, especially today, doesn't want to adhere to.
And it's more of an obligation, I'm learning. It's not just, I want you to do this, you know, get this done between now and Thursday. I want you to do this now.
Right. It is not a matter-of-factly kind of thing. It's kind of like the fact of your life. Let me give you a suggestion to kind of share with you a little bit about what this series is doing to me. Usually when I go to bed late Saturday night, I'm thinking about Sunday morning and I'm thinking about next week. And you know what I have planned in my life for this week. And I'm telling you, the excitement about what I have planned this week is gone because what God has put on my heart, Mark,
right,
is that I demand righteousness out of you, and anything less than that, I give payback big time. Now, it's changed the way I preach the entire series.
How's that?
Well, because I know that God is peering in on me, looking at me, checking out everything that I say.
Checking on John, making sure John is staying.
Checking on John, making sure that John is staying
on
track.
He's adhering to what he's talking about.
Because you see, man, it is so easy for me, especially me, to kind of do a little straying, do a little swaying, do a little prophesying, do a little lying. Man,
John starts thinking
I mean,
on his almost
own.
Every believer starts to think that they know what they're doing after a while.
Come on, Mark, you know that's the way it is, man. You know, you've been saved and filled with this grace, and then you have a little sanctification and a little satisfaction as you take on a little bit of freedom.
You brought up that point today about, you know, we live in a world of people that are philosophers, and they talk about their lives, so you're saying sometimes, well, anybody can get caught up in that.
Yeah, and see, once we get caught up in ourselves, then we begin to, and I think that the way that this message went this week, Mark, is that we begin to justify our deeds, our acts, and then we, after trying to justify it, we try to qualify the intention of our lives, and a lot of times it doesn't own up to what God demands.
And so as we start to fade off, that gets our focus off of God, and that's where we start to see that blurry line of what God demands and what we're thinking we want.
Oh, brother, you know we're not perfect. I mean, God is a hard case God, Mark. You know, I mean, you know, we gotta have some fun sometime, don't we, Mark?
Well,
let's face it, Mark. I mean, you know, you remember how the whiskey used to taste. You remember how the girls used to look. I know that God is demanding all this heavyweight righteousness and promising us wrath, but let's face it, brother, we're saved already, going to heaven, and I'm willing to put up with a little bit of the punishment that he's going to give me in this life because I know that I have the tree of life.
I'll take my chances, John.
You see, and that's what they're doing. But Paul, even if you think that way, it is a total contradiction of who you profess to be.
Well, he loves me, John. I mean, he's not going to, you know, blow me out of the water. What are you talking about?
Sure. I'm trying to make him come across as a hard case God. You know what I found in this particular message, and what really struck me as interesting, is that the relationship that he has with his own people, the Jews, and I tried to point that out in the first part of the message, the relationship that he has with his own people, the Jews, if he doesn't let them off the hook, if he doesn't let us off the hook, why is it that many Christians in this society today are pleading for mercy and grace and favor even in the face of their disobedience?
That's significant from if we take into the physical, the father and the kids. You know, the father won't let his kids get off with things, but you know, he might allow other children to get away with certain things just
right.
Because he wants to make sure his kids adhere to the rules and regulations of his home or whatever.
Right, and that's what I was trying to put forth when I was going into Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, when it says, then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? You see, Paul begins that argument by saying, come on, let me tell you what you're thinking already. You're saying, well, what advantage is it of me being saved? You mean to tell me that since I'm saved, that he's going to give me some heavyweight wrath too? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Some people, even in the vet, and I would deduce to say in many other churches, have this subtle, coy, shrewd way of playing off things. Just that smooth. You know, and so that's why Paul, and I'm spending time on this because the sermon went kind of quick. I hope that I gave it in a way that people understood it, but that's what we do. You know, Paul says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 3, great in every respect. In other words, oh, you're held accountable. And you're held accountable as a believer, Mark, you and I, in every respect because we know. Let me share something with you. And we're going to really get this personal with the listening audience on the tape this week. You and I, having this conversation,
okay,
are held more in check because of what we're discussing.
And I take it as I'm supposed to, like, hold this stuff with me at all times, yeah, all the responsibilities.
Yes.
It's like holding, not trying to hold sand. I mean, some of the things are going to slide through your hands, but sure, still, God wants you to hold all these things. And if you're holding them, that means you have to actually feel them and know that you're responsible for this, 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 and this. So that would translate into your life wherever you go. You have to remember. And if you remember those things, that will keep you in check to make you want to follow through to show your light to others.
Okay. Our theme is, as we go through the book of Romans, is getting on with the business, okay? And what we've done, as you know, here at Olivet, we've gone through Acts and Action, the book. We've gone through the book of Galatians. We've gone through special studies in Ephesians. We've done all the work. Man, we've done the exegesis and the eisegesis as well as the help me Jesus. But when you look, but when you look at
the
way, help me Jesus, and even that doesn't work. And so now what we do is, I think that it's pertinent to take time out and say, what is God saying about this whole situation right now? He's demanding a certain kind of lifestyle out of those that he's chosen and elected and given salvation to. Now, Mark, that doesn't mean anything after the folk pop the cassette out of the recorder, because they're going to forget this.
So you're saying it's like a momentary thing. I just do this while it's on. I just do this while I'm thinking about, while I'm holding this tape from church. After that, I'm back to my old life.
Listen to my pastor and Brother Mark up there talking. Ain't they something? No, the thing is, you are nothing. Because, listen, there are many people listening right now that are contemplating the lack of righteousness that God demands in their lives. And once that's done, Mark, what they're doing is they're just chalking themselves off. It comes a time when God will no longer even communicate with them.
So I'm thinking now it's not even a point or a thought of not wanting to be responsible. Like you said, they just want to play God off. It's not going to be that bad. I'm getting in anyway.
Well, this is what human beings do. This is what people do. And the more they do that, the more they play games with themselves. And God, listen, God, Mark, this is the way it works, man. As a father would his child, he's going to bless his child and buy him a new pair of shoes and give him food to eat and all of that. But every time the child is disobedient, God is going to whip his child. He's going to whip his son.
Right.
What the believers are saying today in the 20th century is that I can take the whipping, but I'm not ready to come across the way God wants me.
God has been so good to me, mm-hmm, I'm speaking as a person, like,
sure,
you're just saying, God has been so good to me that he just will hit me on my wrist instead of getting the belt out and pulling my pants down.
And what happens is that he doesn't just get the belt out and pull the pants down, he does something else to you. He does what we would never think he would do. See, a lot of people are under the impression that, well, God is going to reveal my sin. No, that's not it. What God does is he brings the sin to us in such a way that we know that we cannot handle our lives like that anymore, and no one else knows it. And when this happens, if we do not comply to the standard of his demanding righteousness, we have to be willing to suffer the consequence.
Now, that sounds like a little bit of last week, where God may take the strain, that guilt, off of you, and then I guess a person finds themselves in their old sin, and then they wake up, oh no, okay. I'm in it again.
Okay. The last time we spoke about him lifting all of the restraints and letting men do whatever they want to do to justify and please themselves. This week, what God is saying, hey, even though I elected you and I chose you, do you think I'm going to let you get away with that to play me off? I believe that because of the nature of God giving us salvation, I think I said it in one part of the sermon, I said, everything we do, everything we think, every intent in ministry, if we are not dead to ourselves and alive unto God, it doesn't work. But folk think that that's my role, to drop dead, but not theirs.
That goes back to that Deuteronomy thing you were saying, don't cut off that skin, you know, they were saying the penis thing, but cut off that inner, die to
and
that
a lot
inner
of people,
self.
Right. You see, a lot of people are saying, well, I've been circumcised, I've stopped hanging out with that crowd. Yeah, but what about the so-called Christian crowd you're hanging out? What are they talking with you about? Are you correcting them? Are you challenging them to think beyond their own independence? And let's just be practical and frank, Mark. There are many, well, maybe not many, but at least some in the vet that don't particularly care for the way I'm doing ministry here today.
I know that.
Yeah. Now, since they don't you know they got lips? And man, they may be talking to somebody that's listening to this tape right now.
They want to sink the ship.
They want to sink the ship. Now, the person that's on the good ship of Zion, the old Olivet that's trying to get him in there, don't you know that I know that the persons that are trying to sink the ship are trying to do it? I am not going to intervene. I hope that the people that I pastor have become more seriously inclined. You see, I cannot walk around trying to stop every sabotaging mode. What I basically do is allow them to take more rope to hang themselves, and then I ask the person that's going down, why are you asking for a life jacket?
That's where I want to go next. You're saying about the people, these sabotage people. Another point you brought up in the sermon was about, you know, that the Gentiles have the word. I mean, now, us in the 90s, right now, we have the word, and back then they just had to go on, you know, God just telling them, or just talking to the prophets. But now we have the word.
Complete closed canon.
And so we have all the ammunition to get this stuff done, yet I guess those saboteurs don't want to obviously read the word because it burns their skin up.
No, the saboteurs are defining the word in their own way. They, like the Jews of old, interpret the text to mean that we are the chosen and the rest of them are uncircumcised dogs. You see, and that also, Mark, was a very important part of the sermon. When I said the Jews saw the Gentiles as uncircumcised dogs, now what do certain believers in the church see other believers as that don't agree with them? Man, the implication of that statement was paramount. And so whenever anyone is in a Christian church and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and somebody even disagrees with it in terms of personality, what do you see the person as?
They're looking at that man.
Yes.
Instead of listening to the word and applying it.
Yes.
Which is a basic thing.
Well, it's basic, but it's so basic that you can miss it.
Yeah.
You see, and so what we need to do as believers is that we need to, you see, and I hope that, I mean, forever folk can listen to this conversation that we're having. Believers need to understand that it is necessary for each individual, because I remember I said this during the sermon too, think for yourselves.
Right.
If it's one thing, listen, I never let my pastor think for me. I didn't let anybody think for me. I thought for myself. Once the pastor would say, if you don't come to a Sunday night lecture, a Sunday preaching Sunday night, you're sinning against God. Man, one Sunday night, my wife and I were so tired, we stayed home and watched 60 Minutes, and God didn't strike me dead.
Right.
The church still went on. But what he was trying to do was put his guilt thing on me. If he feels that, and because everybody doesn't come back to Olivet Sunday night.
Now,
let me share something with you, brother. I am not displeased. If you come back, we'll have a nice private study in our office. Maybe, you know, go and get a little cool drink and just sit down and have a nice Bible study together.
Right.
My joy is not contingent upon hundreds of folk gathering around me listening to me yak. Man, I talk in my sleep at home. I don't need to be here. So, you see, the point is
sermons when, all the time.
Sermons, ask my wife. Guess what I did? I got to tell you the truth. The new people won't believe this. I went home and I took off my hot, sweaty clothes, and I was telling Lucy about some conversations that I had this morning, and I was in the bed asleep when she woke me up to say it's time to eat lunch. And I got up and ate lunch and looked at the Cowboys and the Oilers, and the Oilers were playing good, Mark, until...
They were trying.
Man,
they
the Cowboys trying. Just came, man, and just, man... I mean, I hate to change the subject in midstream, but man, are they going to win the Super Bowl for the third time?
No.
No. Okay. No. Now let's get back to the subject matter. All right.
Well, let's just get back to the idea of, you know, that okay. Now we have the word to go on.
All right.
And the saboteur is saying don't want to adhere to that.
It doesn't mean that they disagree with the word that is being preached, but they are disagreeing as the Jews did with the interpretation of the word. You see, look, it's too obvious when you disagree with me that you're going to fall on bad times.
That's a personality thing. And yeah. Since you're the speaker for God, if you don't listen to the speaker, then you're doomed.
Yes. And I don't want people to feel doom. I want them to look for another home. You see what I mean? Because
wrath and a new home.
Yeah, right. Yeah, wrath and a new home, because I don't want to see wrath come down, you know, here on you in this home. You see?
Because the explosion might be so big it takes out all of us.
Well, now here it is. It's going to take out all the others that are planting the time bomb.
The domino effect.
Yes. It's going to take them out. Because you see, when I'm doing something else that I mentioned during the sermon, I was saying, you know, mentioning something about grapevine mentality. I can't help it because I know. And I don't apologize because I know. I know what people do. They do it consistently all the time. I think that's what a good pastor is. But I don't have the time to go around trying to pull out fuses.
And put out fires all day long.
No, I don't do that. And so what I do is that if you light the blaze, I'm going to let it engulf you. And see, and that's the wrath of God. Check this out. And I want to say this to the members of the vet that will get this tape this week. Your pastor is in another city this week. If ever anyone here tries to start anything this week, God's going to totally engulf them in time. Now, you know, that is a sad thing because I pray for my people.
No, that's all right.
Let the folk know that there's, you know, that there's really people here. But listen, let me share this with you as I end up. As we continuously go through, Mark, this God demanding a life of righteousness, and especially as we look into next week when God says, and Mark, this is the trip, man, all of you are full of it. There's a sense that you pick up when Paul is saying, just let me say it plain. Doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how long you've been in church, doesn't matter what position you have, it doesn't matter what gift you have. Doesn't matter how loud and long you sing.
But
and
I
preach.
See another correlation here, John.
Okay,
it says,
what?
You know, the Jews used their Jewishness to let themselves off the hook. They thought they could get off because, you know, they were in.
Yes.
And so, you know, I can do that too, right?
Well, see, well, that's what we're trying to do, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get off. I'm in.
Hey, man, I'm in, so I'm off the hook. Now, what? Paul,
John,
is,
you can scream all you want. I'm in.
Scream all you want. But next week, Paul is going to say, no, you're going to find out who's going to be screaming. And I love it because before Paul gets into God's righteousness, he makes man totally debauched with this argument. And he begins richly in Romans chapter 3 with his own, the Jews, and says, is there anybody closer than these elect? And they don't have a way. Now, the intensity of what this argument is before us, Mark, how are we living? You know, that's why I ended up the worship in saying, how are you people living? How are you treating one another? Is there love? Are there hidden agendas? Are there ulterior motives? That's the issue of the hour.